This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 360. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Lois Lane, Queen of the Universe. Grayson has some moves. Bruce needs to invest in Batmobiles. Coulson brings the team together. And it's time for a rant. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 28th, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League 3001, number one by Giffen, DeMatteis, Porter, and Wi-Fi. So this is a restart of the title with a new number one, but the same continuing storyline.
Well, it's a little bit further along than
it was. Yeah, they kind of fill us in. Lois Lane, inhabiting the body of Leader Ariel, has of course fooled the JLA, because the current JLA are idiots. She keeps sending the team on dangerous missions, hoping it will get them killed, or at least wore them down so the Injustice Gang can take them out. Instead, they keep winning and gaining support. And we learn that Cadmus is building a Justice League theme park.
Now, I don't remember, but did they actually, they didn't beat out the other guys. I mean, they beat the bad guys on their planet.
Right.
But they didn't beat the overall bad guys, did they?
No, not really.
So how can they be going out into the universe? Won't those people be coming after them?
One would assume. So she and Robot Ronald provide exposition while they argue, which is really classic Giffen.
Yes.
Lois still won't say what Superman did to make her hate him 1,000 years later.
Yes. And of course, this isn't really even the same Superman, so...
Right, this is not the New 52 Superman. We've pretty much established this is post-crisis, pre-Flashpoint. Somewhere in there is where this 1,000 years later is coming from.
But then he's also been, had his DNA injected into somebody else's body entirely,
right.
So he's not even...
No.
You know, he's like an echo of the previous Superman.
Exactly. Ronald's programming is temporarily overwritten by Elrond.
Yay, Elrond!
Maxwell Lord's robot assistant.
I love Elrond.
Meanwhile, the League is fighting Starro on an alien planet. And Starro now has legal papers saying he can't enslave that world.
Yes.
And he's like, it's all legal. Here it is.
Yeah.
So Guy, in the body of a woman, goes to the paperwork planet to fix things. And now they just have to take the planet back. Ice and Fire have a long chat, debating if they want to join the Super Buddies again with Booster and Beetle, as there's a name check to Kui 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 Island.
But we never even saw Booster and Beetle. I was so sad. I want to see them together. It sounds like in the interim between the two issues that we've seen, that Ice and Fire have gotten together with Beetle and Booster.
Yeah, it happened off screen. And Fire apparently still has the hots for Etrigan.
Yes.
And on the last page, a rocket ship is about to land, and it contains Supergirl. Now, this appears to be the classic first-generation Kara. There's a blue skirt. There's no headband. The 80s headband isn't there. And it's none of the modern ones, because the modern ones never had a blue skirt. And could this be the original trip from Krypton slightly off course?
That's what I was thinking that it might be.
Now, I know you have to have knowledge of the Bwahaha JLI to really get this comic, but I love it anyway.
And you know what? I do have that knowledge. The JLI was one of my very, very, very favorites. I reread it just a couple years ago. I still love it. And I really have high hopes for this.
Yeah.
And Mark, did you notice that in the scene where they're all looking down at all the people who are controlled by Starro on that planet. That ambush bug is there in the bottom. He doesn't have a Starro, but he's there.
I completely missed that.
I know how much you love ambush bug.
I love ambush bug.
I just didn't know if he'd figure in later.
Oh, he might, because Giffen actually created that character. Grayson number 9 by Seeley, King, Janin, and Cox. So Dick can't contact Bruce due to the events going on in his titles.
Yeah, Bruce is dead. Okay.
Well, no, we've already learned he's not. So he continues his role as a secret agent. There's a bad guy taking out spiral agents. We learn that Helena is now in charge of the agency and has to stop this from happening. Dick and his new partner are breaking into a royal party, giving him a chance to wear a tuxedo.
And Dick in a tuxedo is nice looking.
We cut back to the bad guy taking out other agents. Back to Dick at the party. The princess has a kryptonite necklace and doesn't know she has it.
And, well, she doesn't know it's kryptonite.
Right, right. She knows she has a necklace. Dick sweeps her off her feet and then swipes the jewel. Helena figures out the bad guy is Dick's partner, so Dick leaves him to take the rap. But it turns out the partner was Dick? I was confused at the end. The last line is, Dick Grayson, you're an idiot.
Well, yes.
It's like he's talking about himself.
No. He's saying Dick Grayson is an idiot because he left him behind. Dick is obviously not the bad guy. It's he's going to the helicopter.
Right. Well, but so, I don't know. I just got confused at the end. That last line threw me off. It's confusing but fun. Batman 66, number 24 by Fox, Bogdanov, Flores, and Estevez. The Adam West-based Digital First series continues with special guest villain, Marcia, Queen of Diamonds, who is played by Carolyn Jones on the show. We just saw her Aunt Hilda last issue.
Yeah, that struck me as kind of odd.
Yeah, that's kind of, you could have spaced this out a little better.
Or they should have been Marcia first and then Hilda.
Yeah. Maybe the artists were out of sync and didn't get the story ready in time. Marcia is hypnotizing Gotham citizens with a diamond, making them give her all her money and jewels. Bruce and Dick are at a party. Marcia appears. Dick is hypnotized. They give chase in the Batmobile. Robin has removed the diamond-studded brakes on the Batmobile as a gift for Marcia. He's actually got them in his hands.
I'm not quite sure how diamond-studded brakes would work.
Yeah, it's the Batmobile. It's atomic-powered. You have to just go with it. The Batmobile crashes in a construction site after blowing a red light, missing an ambulance, and a Mr. Frosty truck. The dynamic duo swing out just in time, and then back at the Batcave, Batman uses high-frequency lights to deprogram his old chum with very trippy art.
It was easy to imagine how that would have fit into the TV series.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They take a bus back into town because Bruce apparently doesn't have a spare Batmobile. Then they hitch a ride with Commissioner Gordon, who's also hypnotized, to arrive at Marcia's pad. Are our heroes now also hypnotized? Of course not. They blinked at the right frequency to block it out.
Yeah.
So they got the exact correct frequency of blinks.
I'm going to have to remember that one.
Yeah. So some biff bam pows later, they adjust the diamond to deprogram everyone, and Marcia's carted off to jail. The artwork is both cartoony and very accurate for the show. Shield number 7 from Marvel by Wade Smallwood and Guru EFX.
People are getting very strange names.
I think they just come up with weird names to stick out now.
Okay.
The title continues to lean into the TV show continuity. We meet Quake, a.k.a. Sky, and Hyde, her dad, who we've seen on the show. Fitz and Simmons helps Quake give Hyde an antidote. Now, things are slightly different here because they're kind of merging the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what I assume is the 616 Marvel Universe, the mainstream Marvel Universe, which may frankly no longer exist because of the things going on in Secret Wars. They have captured Hyde so he can cure Quake of her illnesses slash powers, which makes no sense. She's an inhuman. It's not an illness.
Well, is she an inhuman in that universe?
She may not be. That's true.
Yeah.
He comes up with a cure, but purposely reinfects himself, which forces Coulson to take the shot as well, so we have two rampaging superhumans duking it out. Fitz distracts Hyde, which is a very dangerous move, so Quake can bury him. Fitz calls Coulson Phil during the fight, which Coulson overlooks in this case. I like this story, but I hope we go back to the Coulson pulls in random Marvel hero for a case format,
well,
which I really enjoyed.
Theoretically, this was a random Marvel hero with Quake. It's just she happens to be one that was in the TV show as well.
Right, but in this case, it's clear they're like, okay, make this tie in more with what's going on the TV show.
Yeah.
Now, I have to go into a rant here on something that came in this week. We got the new issue of Superman this week, which was supposed to explain why Lois told the world his secret identity, why the world hates him, why most of his powers are gone, why the fortress locked him out, as is already being shown in Action Comics as an event that's already occurred.
Indeed.
Instead, we get the first part of a three-part story about it, so we won't know for two more months what's going on. Should I hold off reading Action for now until this flashback explains things? I really hate this concept. If I wanted to see a fugitive always on the run, helping people with his strength and then leaving town, I would watch old episodes of Incredible Hulk.
Indeed, this is really not Superman.
Here's the deal, DC. I want to see the suit and the powers back in two more issues, and some alien ray or something that makes everyone forget Clark is Superman, or it's all a dream, or whatever it's going to be. Or I'm dropping the Superman titles until you can get around to telling Superman stories again.
Now, I know that people say, well, just because that's your Superman doesn't mean it should be everybody's Superman. But quite frankly, there are some characters that are so ingrained in the mythos that they shouldn't be changing them so dramatically.
Right. I mean, I can get my fix for Superman in Justice League and Justice League America right now, neither of which are in the main continuity, clearly. The Superman in Justice League 3001 is a better Superman than what you were providing in his own titles. I've already allowed the lack of red trunks.
Yeah, which just shows off his package more. But do you know what? That's supposed to be the in thing now, so I guess that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, I suppose. That's as far as I can go. This would be the first time I have dropped Superman titles since I restarted collecting in 1986. I've already dropped several DC titles, and I will no longer buy them just to be a completist. I want good stories. I know DC's not aiming for my demographic.
Nope, not at all.
But I used to buy almost your entire line. Do the millennials do that? No,
nope.
I don't think they do. Don't give up on me, DC, and I won't give up on you. Enough said. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? So, Mark, are you ready to guess?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm pressing the button on the timer.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
No.
Two?
Yes.
A man and a woman?
Yes.
Is it a show that's already out?
Not really.
Okay, is it a show? A show that's been out already.
It has been out.
Okay. And it's coming back?
Yes.
Ah. Man and a woman is genre related?
Yes.
Is it superhero related?
No.
Is it fantasy related?
No.
Is it science fiction related?
Sort of. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to throw a shot in the dark. Is it X-Files?
It is X-Files, so you can guess who that is.
So it's David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
It is. Very good, Mark. Very proud of you this week.
Wow. Just suddenly in the back of my head, I was like, hey, maybe it's X-Files. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.